Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our webinar with the command team at 8 Wing Trenton. With us this morning is 8 Wing Commander Colonel Deming and the Wing Chief, Chief Warrant Officer Bowen. Welcome, gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining us today to bring updates and information to the Quinney West business community. Thank you. I'm just going to give you a quick overview of their very demanding careers. My husband was a Sartec in the Air Force, and my father was a bomb disposal expert in the British Forces. So I know all about military life, and I can truly appreciate everything that you guys give, not only to your community up at 8 Wing, but also your families and, of course, the larger community, because we know how important our military members are to the life of this of Quinty West and in fact the whole region. For Colonel Deming, he joined the Canadian Armed Forces at an early age in 1993. And he was promoted to colonel in 2019. He went to Royal Military College in Kingston. So you've been around this region for many, many years and has had several postings to Trenton, along with many in other parts of the world as well. And I won't go into all the details, but I share those bios with anybody after the webinar, along with the recording. But certainly, you know, he's very familiar with the Quinty region and 8 Wing Trenton in particular. And of course, he was born and raised in Simcoe, Ontario. So definitely, very much aware of Ontario and definitely this region. Chief Warrant Officer Dan Gold, just gave you a little promotion there, is a native of Hull, Quebec, and enrolled in the Canadian Armed Forces as a meteorological technician in 1989. So that means you can maybe give us an update on the weather this weekend before we let you go today. shortly after his occupational training in Winnipeg, he was posted to 5 Wing Goose Bay, having served 2 years. I also am one of the lucky few who had a chance to spend some time in Goose Bay, 1999 to 2002. So I was up there as well. So we'll have to chat about our experiences at some point. And then since then, he's again had a very busy career. I noticed you were in Esquimo, so some years serving in the Navy, I'm going to assume from that. And definitely, like so many of our armed forces these days, spent time in Afghanistan and other parts of the world. You have been as the wing chief since 2018. I believe.
Wing Chief last summer, 2019.
Last summer, 2019. So you were promoted to Chief Warrant Officer in 2018 and then Wing Chief in 2019. Is that about right?
Promoted to Chief in 2016 and then got posted here as the Wing Chief in 2019.
Oh, very good. So anyways, it's great to have two gentlemen to talk about one of our favorite topics here in the Quinty region is 8 Wing and all the great work that you're doing there. And on that note, I'm going to throw it over to you guys and let you start your update for us.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Suzanne. You know, when we think back and we just take a pause here, we look at the year 2020. What a year it's turned out to be for everyone. I know here at 8 Wing, it's been an unprecedentedly busy time. But the Chief and I are quite honored to have the opportunity to speak to the Chamber today. So thank you very much, Suzanne, for setting that up and working with Alex to enable this. This is probably not the way that we expected that we were going to be presenting to the Chamber, you know, about 5 or 6 months ago. But this is the new reality that we all find ourselves in. So understand that what we're going to present today is probably a little bit different than what the Chamber is probably used to hearing. But I can assure you that we'll endeavor to make it both thought-provoking and also relevant. And before I get into our talk today, I would like to recognize the contributions of a good friend of ours and former Wing Honorary Colonel, Mr. John Williams. The passing of John was a difficult loss within our communities and within our business community. And I know that his memory will live on through all that he's brought to our lives. So the chief and I have decided we're gonna tag team this approach today. So again, probably a little bit different, but we want to make sure that we cover everything that's going on in 8-Wing. But I want to first give you a little bit of context about the base for those that aren't overly familiar with 8-Wing Trenton. And specifically, then we'll move into some of the activities, both recent activities and where we're moving in the future. And we're going to cover some key topics along the way to get us through there. I know, Suzanne, you sent a few questions already that had come up from some of the folks following this webinar today. I believe that 80% of them will be answered in what the chief and I have prepared today. And those pieces that aren't, we'll be glad to hit at the end for you.
Very good. And maybe I'll just take a moment and remind our participants that there is a chat, a Q&A at the bottom of the screen. So if you have some questions that come up that you want to ask, maybe something that is said and you want some further clarification on it, please go ahead throughout the webinar and put your questions in the Q&A. We will be going through them at the end, and hopefully at this time we'll be allowing people to ask their own questions live with you. So please make use of that Q&A at the bottom of your screen, and we'll try and get to everybody's questions at the end.
Well, that sounds great, Suzanne. Thank you for that. Unfortunately, Alex told me that you only gave us 5 minutes to speak today, so we've had to condense our talk down significantly. In all seriousness, I'll apologize up front for the chief and I if we tend to use any acronyms throughout. I've went through our talk quite extensively to try and make sure that we're taking out acronyms. But if we do cover any acronyms, I know Suzanne will be the first one, based on her military experience, to be able to remind us at the end, and then we can go back and cover some of those. So I want to first start talking about, you know, what is 8-Wing and what is the impact on 8-Wing's impact on the local communities. So 8-Wing, as many of you know, is the largest Air Force base in Canada, consisting of 12 integral units and 25 lodger units. We provide air mobility and search and rescue, air effects, and combat forces to conduct and support operations wherever and whenever they are needed. So this is a mission that's ever-present and one of those that we must deliver on again and again. So on the face value, one might think the mission of 8-Wing seems relatively straightforward: send aircraft and aircrew to different parts of the world and carry out the mission. But I can tell you that this is all backed up by impressive logistics, planning, support, and financial capability to make sure these operations can be delivered on a 24/7 basis. So at 8-Wing, we have 45 different aircraft across 7 different fleets. So what that means is 45 aircraft of 7 different types. And I'm ultimately responsible and accountable for approximately 3,500 military members who belong to the wing. Additionally, there's another 1,500 military and civilian folks on this base for whom we provide a myriad of services and support. To enable our operations at 8-Wing at Trenton and around the globe, I have an annual budget of approximately $170 million, which represents 25% of the entire RCAF budget. Our annual payroll for personnel is approximately $140 million. Luckily, this is centrally funded and doesn't come out of my annual budget. And we have a direct and indirect economic benefit to this region of $400 million. So that $400 million includes portions of my annual budget. It includes $9.5 million in transfer payments to Quinte West, which represent payment in lieu of taxes. That includes payroll and, of course, $32 million on average yearly for infrastructure and contracts. Thankfully, this is also centrally funded. So all that said, I believe the base and its personnel have a significant impact on the financial viability of our communities. So I know, and the chief and I realize, that this has never been more important than the current situation that we find ourselves in, rebounding our economy from the effects of COVID-19. I think it's also worth noting that over the past few years, 8-Wing and CFB Trenton has annually raised over $100,000 for the United Way campaign. And we're proud to say that last year, the majority of this money was directed to local charities and initiatives. Chief?
Over the past 5 months, 8-Wing CFB Trenton has been at the forefront of Canada's effort to protect communities from COVID-19 virus. We have accomplished this while supporting our essential air mobility and search and rescue mandates. While there have been necessary adjustments to our posture and procedures to enable safe operations, the women and men of 8-Wing have remained mission-focused, and their command and commitment to Canada and Canadians has not wavered.
So I want to talk a little bit about Operation Globe. I think this is one of the operations that the community members are most familiar with, and that was the Canadian Armed Forces' support to a whole-of-government approach to repatriate Canadians from abroad in a safe and dignified manner. So 8 Wing was the location chosen for the quarantine, and it was also the base requested to support the mission of the Public Health Agency of Canada and the Canadian Red Cross. So when I look back, I personally believe that 8 Wing Trenton was chosen due to our agility and our expertise in accepting, processing, and providing real-life support for large numbers of people at any one time. So over the course of Operation Globe, we received over 870 personnel, many of whom stayed right here in 8 Wing and within your community. Now, the success of this operation was due to the exceptional collaboration and coordination with our partners, and also the professionalism and leadership of 8 Wing members. Perhaps most importantly, we had the support of you, our great community, and our community leaders, who showed a calm resolve throughout. This quarantine operation prevented illness across Canada while also ensuring those who did return with the virus received excellent care from our healthcare providers.
I'll talk about a little bit about Operation Laser. It began in March and is still going on as we speak. The CAP's response to the pandemic is called Operation Laser. Op Laser, overlapping with Op Globe, provided some unique challenges for both 8 Wing and the CAF. As with any situation, opportunities often present. I am proud to say that 8 Wing, as a learning institution, quickly assessed lessons learned from Op Globe and implement those lessons, blazing a trail for RCF and the CAF, implementing new policies and procedures aimed at protecting our personnel, our families and communities, of course, maintaining operational capabilities, and limiting the spread of COVID-19. To date, 8 Wing personnel serving on Op Laser, including our squadron based in Yellowknife and in Ottawa, have provided support to sustainment missions around the world, including support Canadian Rangers Patrol in Northwest Territories, Nunavut, and Northern Quebec, while as well as supplying northern and remote communities with personal protective equipment, PPE, for frontline workers to mitigate the potential spread of the pandemic areas with limited medical support and infrastructure. These same 8 Wing members have been supporting our other government partners in transporting essential PPE across Canada and receiving and delivering it from locations around the world into the hands of our Canadian frontline workers. Some healthcare providers from Canadian Forces Health Services here at 8 Wing have also been deployed to aid in long-term care facilities in Ontario, supporting some of our most vulnerable population. ATIS and 8 AMS units within 8 Wing are producing medical-grade face shields and non-medical face masks that support both military and community members in conducting their daily duties. Finally, we have had numerous members volunteer to be sequestered on base, such as they could guarantee COVID-free crews for mission in northern and isolated places. 8 Wing missions and SEP, while delivering on Op Globe and Op Laser, our personnel continued their efforts to support the full spectrum of our operations expected to CAP and Government of Canada. For instance, essential lifeline sustainment missions to Canadian Forces Station Alert were delivered out in months of April and May, all under new procedures implementing to protect crews and communities. Search and rescue, SAR, operations were executed without fail, understanding that Canadians rely on the tireless efforts of our SAR squadron. On the 6th of May, 8 Wing provided a respectful and dignified repatriation and ramp ceremony to honor the fallen members of CH-148 Cyclone helicopter that crashed into the Ionian Sea off the coast of Greece on the 30th of April. The solemn ceremony paid tribute to Captain Hagen, Captain McDonald, Captain Miron Morin, Sub-Lieutenant Calbrow, Sub-Lieutenant Pike, and Masterful Cousins. While the COVID-19 environment forced us to adjust the ceremony to respect physical distancing and wear face masks, it did not diminish the dignity and sanctity of the ceremony. From the SAR missions, air mobility sustainment domestically and internationally, and missions in support of Defense of Canada, 8 Wing stands ready, despite the uncertain times, and charting out the new normal, what the new normal will look like. I am especially proud of our air crews, maintainers, kitchen staff, cleaners, operation and support personnel who have ensured we are continue ready to ensure to answer whatever the call may be and remain mainstay in strategic air mobility for Canadian Armed Forces. We have focused a significant amount of effort on physical and mental well-being of our personnel. This remains our top priority. Our personnel support program staff, our chaplains, healthcare providers, and social workers at the Military Family Resource Center have been doing a phenomenal job meeting the needs of our personnel that may be struggling at this time.
So now I'm going to switch gears again and talk about what's happening right now at A-Wing Trenton. So A-Wing CFP Trenton, we're currently in the transition phase from our business continuity plan to our business resumption plan. While I understand that our approach may be slightly different than the stage that some of you find your businesses in, as the Chief mentioned above, given our operational mandate and our requirement to be ready to answer whatever call may come in from the Government of Canada, we're able to reduce the number of personnel on the space to fulfill only our core and essential tasks. This equated to approximately 25% of our usual strength. So if you think back to the mandate that I talked about earlier and the number of personnel we have, this brought us down to only having about 1,000 to 1,200 personnel on base, which still seems like quite a significant number. But again, that's only 25% of our usual strength. Unfortunately, we were never in a position to shut down the base or to enter into a stand down posture as other bases and wings across Canada were able to do. And when you think of the mission sets that the Chief just talked about, I think it's understandable why we weren't able to do that. So we entered into our business continuity plan using a dated framework. We employed a contingency plan, as in the military, we're always great at coming up with contingency plans, which was last revised during the previous pandemic response in Canada. For those that remember that was during the SARS and H1N1 timeframe. So as we're all too familiar, our current pandemic situation has significantly more impact on Canadians than SARS did. That said, based on the fact that the wing was forced to respond on the 31st of January into emergency planning for Operation Globe, which I already talked about, and that's the repatriation of Canadians, provided us some insight into what we would need to look at should the pandemic spread across Canada. I'm proud to say that the team here at 8 Wing was exceptional in delivering on this. And they were also trailblazers in many aspects for the Canadian Armed Forces pandemic response, whether it be operating procedures for aircraft, passenger screening and handling, and also the overall implementation of risk mitigation measures. So as we look to fully resume our activities here at 8 Wing, we're faced with many of the same challenges that you as business owners are. We're faced with helping our personnel overcome the fear and apprehension of returning to work. We're faced with the lack of social infrastructure to enable the transition, and we're continually redefining what can feasibly be accomplished, through teleworking and remote working. So throughout the pandemic, our personnel have been our priority. The Chief and I are firm believers that if you look after your personnel, we'll look after the rest. I know that's easy enough to say, but it's a lot more difficult to implement and reinforce. So we've tried to promote a culture and require the leadership teams to demonstrate compassion, balance, and responsibility. This isn't to say that we have the perfect solution, and hopefully if anyone else has a perfect solution, they'll be able to share it today. But we have the same struggles that many of you are facing, mental health concerns being our primary effort. While we anticipated some of this based on our experience and tried to combat this by immediately introducing a number of resources and different initiatives, it still posed a challenge for us. One of the initiatives that we introduced here on the wing was a mandated personnel rotation such that individuals maintain that sense of self-value and self-worth of coming to work. Now, looking back, I believe that we've introduced some positive initiatives, but again, this is an area that will always require focus and evolution. I'll talk a little bit now about moving forward, where we're all still trying to figure out what the future is going to look like, what new challenges we're going to finally realize from COVID-19. I know that many of you have been personally impacted by the pandemic. So I want to say, just as you've been there for the members of 8 Wing and CFE Trenton, and as part of the larger military community, know that we're here for you as well. Now, as we begin to return to some semblance of normalcy, whatever that may look like, I know that 8 Wing members are getting out and supporting our local businesses and our communities. And they're not doing this out of responsibility, but they're doing this out of admiration and respect for everything that you have brought to the members and our families of this wing. We military members and families within your communities see the community and business leaders as important influences for a myriad of reasons that the Chief and I would like to touch on. First is the community support. I think it's incredibly important to both military and civilian personnel involved to have the Quinte and Belleville regions embrace the repatriated Canadians during Operation Globe. This gave our members an unbelievable confidence to focus on their primary duties, understanding that you had our back. Now, this speaks a little bit as well to the morale impact. Working in communities that you know appreciate your efforts has an overall positive impact on a member's well-being, particularly mentally. It's uplifting to know that this community is supporting our efforts.
I'll discuss a little bit of the community real-life support. Due to the nature of this operation, more personnel than normal were supported on the local economy due to the base accommodations being unavailable. The flexibility and quick response enabled task force apparatus to be operationally ready to receive returning Canadians in a short period of time. We can understand that respecting privacy for this quarantine was also something that was important. So a very limited amount of issues regarding checking out the guests, mainly media interests, and no large crowds or problems related to people trying to sneak on the base. Help keep personnel focused and not required to deal with unnecessary issues. The local support services stepping up to assist us. Specifically local health services, Hastings and Prince Edward Public Health filled a critical role to provide mission essential services, particularly during the reception process and quarantine period that were critical areas of concern leading up to the first aircraft arrival. Their presence in helping to guide passengers through the process, provide support while waiting for buses to complete their routes, and finding the rooms at the lodges was a problem area that no other civilian agency could fill.
So if we haven't talked enough to show you how the base and the wing are intertwined with the community yet, I want to add a few more pieces before we close out here. And one of those is the outstanding community leadership. I really can't say enough about the team approach to supporting the missions that we've had to support over the last 6 months from the local mayors and other members in this community. You know, they've had an unbelievable influence on the messaging of this mission right from the onset and also rallying the support within our local communities. I think it was the 1st of February, 2020, I believe it was just after we dropped the puck for the pond hockey tournament there, Chief. We brought Mayor Harrison and Mayor Panchuk onto the base, and we discussed what was happening, discussed the emergency planning session that we had the night before. And we all understood that the biggest threat to repatriating Canadians was going to be the psychological threat. And that was the psychological threat, not only on the base, but also within the community of bringing possibly infected personnel onto the base and into your community. I believe that the collective we turned the threat into an opportunity and achieved success together. When we talk about community leadership, I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about the Honorary Colonel Network. The value of having local, engaged, strong leaders, such as our Honorary Colonels, was reinforced throughout this mission. Their support was key and positively permeated throughout the community. This also includes previous Honorary Colonels that remained engaged and willing to support the wing however they possibly could. So before we close out, I've talked about how important the community is to this wing. We've talked about some of the things that we've accomplished in the last few months, like about the current phase that we find ourselves in the transition of going from business continuity plans to the business resumption plan. But I'd like to take a moment to talk about the people that you are so proud of having a base and a wing within your local community. Essentially, I want to talk about the men and women in uniform serving in your community. So ladies and gentlemen, these are the men and women who've been asked to prepare to leave their families for what could be a mission of 2 weeks, only to find out 7 days into that mission, it's now 2 months. These are the same people that deploy on a six-month deployment with a spouse or partner 2 months pregnant, hoping they'll be home in time for the birth of that child. These are the same military members that, while over in Afghanistan, between patrols and support flights across the country, help build schools, so that young Afghan girls were given the chance to succeed. These are the men and women of 8 Wing Trenton that rushed to the aid of a civilian instructor here on base on 18 October 2019 to perform CPR on an individual that is suffering from a cardiac arrest. Without them putting into action their first aid training, the individual would not be alive today. These are also the men and women who are producing face shields, face masks, and other protective gear that the chief mentioned. These are the members who volunteer to go out into long-term care facilities or to go overseas to conduct medical screening of Canadians longing to be repatriated to the place we all call home. And finally, ladies and gentlemen, these are the officers and NCMs who, after finishing a long shift or a long crew day, go home to help their elderly neighbors shovel their driveways or cut their grass, because it's the right thing to do. The stories I've just mentioned are but a few of the extraordinary things our folks do on a daily basis. They don't do these things for recognition. They perform their duties and serve their country before anything else because it's in our DNA. I can tell you we have the most professional and dedicated group of people that I've ever met, and they make me extremely proud. Now, these are the folks that are living in your community. Your appreciation, admiration, and support are what enable us. They make us stand an inch taller every day when we put the uniform on and we have that opportunity and privilege to wear this Canadian flag on our shoulder. Throughout the last 6 months, I've been moved by the compassion and support of our local communities. Much of this stems from the individual leadership demonstrated by community leaders and business leaders like yourselves. From what you may deem as a small, inconsequential gesture to the full-on level of support you've been providing the members of 8 Wing, you are truly making a difference. So I ask you, please be proud of what you're doing. I know the Chief and I certainly are. Chief and I are proud to call Quinte West and the Bay of Quinte region home. So thanks for this opportunity today. We look forward to fielding any questions from you.
Hello. Well, thank you so much for the update. I have just noticed that 8 Wing Honorary Colonel John Smiley has joined us this morning. So I'm actually just going to allow him to unmute his microphone there. And perhaps join in the conversation and say a few words. John, I'm going to throw it over to you if you want to say a few words as your role as an honorary colonel. I know all of the honorary colonels were mentioned throughout the presentation on what an important role they play, bridging the gap between the 8 Wing community and the local community. So, John?
Well, thanks, Susanna. It gives me great pleasure to join these two fine fellows in this presentation. I just have to reiterate what the two of them said, that we need to be incredibly proud that 8 Wing is in our community. It helps us weather economic downturns. They're there to support us. We're there to support them. It just makes this combined civilian-military community just a great place to live. And I'm incredibly proud of the role I have as being 8 Wing Honorary Colonel, and incredibly proud of the members that I see every day going into work, facing the hardships that they face, and yet coming home to try to establish a normal family life. I think it's great. I think this is a wonderful community. I think we're blessed by having the base here, and I think the base is blessed by who we are in this community. So I think it's a great relationship, and we're very, very fortunate. The Honorary Colonel Network, I think, has been key in building that relationship between the wing and the community. Some of our past Honorary Colonels, like John Williams, who just goes out of his way and went out of his way to promote the base and the relationship between the base and the community. It's an incredible relationship, and let's hope it's a long one. Thanks very much.
Thank you, John. Yeah, I have noticed that several of the honorary colonels over the years have come from the local business community, and many of them with no military background whatsoever. Many of them didn't even grow up in a military family. They just, through the role of being in business, in having those opportunities to not only socialize with members from 8 Wing, but do business with them and often get involved in some causes that, you know, have brought us together. And certainly you mentioned the United Way, and I know that's one local organization that works so closely with the base. And I do know that Jennifer had actually had hoped to be on the call this morning, but they're busy doing some emergency supply runs out to the community this morning. So she's looking forward to watching the recording afterwards. But again, that's just such a great organization within our community. And without that relationship with 8 Wing, they would not have the resources they need to perform so many of these actions that are needed to these causes. And I think there's, I don't even want to take a guess how many local organizations that benefit from the funding. I know I just read their newsletter, but it's numerous. And from everything from the elderly to those that have got from the elderly to the young, to those that are able-bodied, those that have got various challenges, whether it's socioeconomic or physical. It's just, it's amazing the resources that they get out into the community. So that's worth worth talking about. So going to some of the questions, I see that there are no questions that have been entered in. So obviously people are here to listen and learn. We do have several members of the media on the call as well. So if anybody would, we do have a few minutes. So if anybody would like to ask questions live, just use your raised hand and I'll definitely unmute you and allow you to ask some questions directly. So I'm going to go into a few of the questions that we did submit earlier. And you did talk about the Operation Globe, I think was the name that you had for the repatriated Canadians. What kind of extra training did the men and women at 8 Wing have to go through in preparation for bringing people back to Canada, essentially from like hot zones around the world?
Yeah, so that's a great question, Suzanne. So as far as special training that we went through, given the fact that we weren't actually physically involved as Canadian Armed Forces members in providing any of that healthcare support directly to the repatriated Canadians, I would say that the special training that we went through and throughout our entire careers is how to plan for emergency responses, how to contingency plan. So I think that all came to together. And I think probably one of the most important things that we provided here was kind of that that liaison or that collective glue, if you will, between the different organizations that were here on base directly supporting the repatriated Canadians. So when I talk about the Public Health Agency of Canada, the Canadian Red Cross, we also had Hastings Prince Edward Health, the chief mentioned, that were here. So us just trying to corral everyone, getting everyone focused on the same vector, running through a bunch of drills and processes to make sure that when our repatriated Canadians arrived, that everything seemed very seamless for them. You know, we have a great relationship with CBSA here on base, the amount of officers that were involved in that to do the initial processing. You know, I can't talk enough about Inspector Reeve and her group of the OPP folks that were also involved. You know, it was unbelievable to be able to take so many people from different organizations and bring them together in a very short time frame to be able to affect this operation and do it successfully. So I think if we talk about special training, I don't think that we had any special training other than what we've been given throughout. Based on what our interaction with the repatriated Canadians were. Now, if you start to talk other operations that our folks are doing with Op Laser, there was a whole bunch of special training that was done there, you know, right from the basics of how to properly don and doff PPE, so personal protective equipment, you know, how to properly prepare workspaces for the transition phase that I talked to about of going from our business continuity plan right through to the business resumption plan. So that's, you know, that's the type of special training that we're continually going through. We're continually evolving as we, as Canadian Forces members, and specifically here at 8 Wing Trenton, understand more about the virus, as we understand more about the pandemic, based on the great advice that we're getting from our healthcare professionals, and then following, obviously, what Dr. Tam has been saying.
One of the things that amazed me through all that, and of course it's the stories that don't necessarily make the news, was how many businesses, local businesses, were working behind the scenes to support 8-Wing in those efforts. From a logistics point of view, you know, for anybody that loves logistics, it's a lot of moving parts, and everybody else, they don't even have an idea that you've got all these moving parts, you know, going in different directions, because they all look smooth, you know, seamless to them. But I know I spoke with local hotels who were busy because I mentioned the Red Cross that came. A lot of them were, you know, they weren't housed on the base. They were housed in hotels. So the hotels had to scramble and make sure that they had, you know, the disinfectant and the cleaning strategies and protocols that they needed to ensure the safety of the Red Cross workers so they could ensure the safety of the people that they were helping. I know many local caterers, maybe not necessarily, I think the food for many of the participants was provided through elsewhere, but they needed to provide food for other people on the base that were supporting them. And so just, you know, getting food to people, getting hotel rooms, getting all, I would imagine, vehicles and transportation was also part of it as well. And that's just even, you know, here in Canada, I don't even imagine how you got those planes in and out of countries that had no-fly zones and who had airports that were closed. So I'm sure you must have an amazing team of people at 8-Wing that just work on those sorts of logistics and where to find the help that they need to make things happen.
Yeah, Suzanne, so if I may just add on to that and provide a little bit of context. So, you know, when we talk about Operation Globe and the repatriation of the Canadians, so our role in supporting the public health agency and our whole of government partners, you know, that really started from the time that the aircraft touched down here in Canada until those Canadians had done their self-isolation or their quarantine period and were outbound on buses. And again, the numerous partners that were involved, what we tried to do again is play that liaison role and to connect some of those partner agencies with local community businesses to be able to deliver on what their job was, and that was to provide that direct support to the repatriated Canadians. You know, I want to give a shout out again to the honorary colonels and also the business leaders here that were very supportive and understanding of what the mission, the whole of government approach mission was here at 8-Wing, and stepped up, you know, and didn't apply a stigma to the overall operation, respected the privacy of the Canadians that were here. You know, these are the true heroes within our community that enabled that to happen. You know, like you said, whether it was the folks that were providing hotels, even for our own 8-Wing members that we had to evict off the base, such that we could provide a safe and private place for the repatriated Canadians. You know, within a couple phone calls, all the hotels were working with my personal administration staff here to be able to relocate our personnel, and that was absolutely amazing. To see that come together. You know, our logistics folks working with local community members. Again, when you think about logistics and you think about the short timelines that we had to plan this, no one person thinks of all the different types of scenarios that are coming up. So that's what you rely on, the strength of a team there. You don't think about many different things that we're used to thinking about in the military, or potentially the Red Cross is used to thinking about, or even the Public Health Agency of Canada is thinking about. So when you bring that collective team together and the strength of that team to start thinking about little things, well what happens if we have people with food allergies that show up on base? Our kitchen is very well versed to be able to provide a variety of different meals, including vegetarian meals, to have separate kitchens, to be able to provide for the air crew such that you don't have cross-contamination of food, to make sure that, you know, the pilots aren't eating from the same kitchen on a flight for obvious reasons. But this community rallied around and found ways to be able to provide, you know, meals for people with peanut allergies, for those that had vegan dietary restrictions. And that is a testament, again, to that strong honorary colonel network that we were able to reach into and say, here's the dilemma. Here's the Red Cross point of contact. Would you be able to help them set this up? You know, we leaned on our, and this goes to one of the other questions that you had provided, Suzanne. You know, was there any issues getting supplies needed at the base, or have there been? So I won't talk about this just purely from off globe. I'm going to talk about this generally. You know, we have local purchase orders, that we have contracting folks, logistics folks that work constantly with the local community to ensure that, you know, we as well are able to secure those items that we talked about when we're talking about risk mitigation, is hand sanitizer, PPE type of stuff, you know, the same as they have been doing for the local frontline workers. So I think, again, this talks to the team approach. You know, if we isolate the base or we isolate the community, I think it talks to our mutual benefit of each of us needing the local community and also the local community needing the base here. I know Honorary Colonel Smiley talked about you know, the mutual importance there, but I think it's key for everyone listening to understand how we operate as a collective and a larger one rather than individual pieces.
And of course, you know, pre-COVID, and I think for many of us, it seemed like a blurry time prior to the beginning. And but pre-COVID, 8-Wing was an extremely busy base. And I'm sure a lot of that hasn't changed. Added challenges around the COVID-19 virus. So have you had to slow down some of your other operations that you were working on, or have you been trying to maintain normal operations on those while adding on all this additional work?
So when we go back to what our mission set is, you know, being able to deliver those search and rescue and air mobility effects around the globe whenever and wherever required, a lot of that demand didn't disappear with COVID-19. We still have search and rescue operations that had to happen. We still had resupply missions to missions overseas that had to take place. We still had to resupply Canadian Forces Station Alert, you know, the northernmost place in Canada. Without air mobility, without the personnel that work on this base and the ability to project that food and that real-life support up to Alert, it could not continue to exist. So while we focused on the core and essential tasks, we were able to reduce in some other areas. And, you know, we talk about the reduction in training. So we're able to put a temporary pause on some of the routine training. There was still core and essential training that had to happen. Because as I'm sure most of the business owners and business leaders that are listening understand is, you can't just stop doing everything and expect that 6, 12, 18 months down the road, everything will be fine. You still have to have that innovation process. You still have to be continually evolving your business to be able to make sure that you can make it through the impacts of COVID-19. You know, the same thing was present on the base here. We couldn't stop operations worldwide. You know, we can't stop search and rescue operations. And, you know, we've seen this over the past 5 months, and I think it's an important factor to remember is that I think I did mention that we were able to go down to about 25%. And a lot of that was to protect our people, to make sure that we maintain an operational capability, but also that we, as Canadian Forces members, weren't the vector for COVID-19 into our local communities. So that was one of the things that took a lot of our effort. To make sure that we had the proper protocol and mitigation measures in place. And I can tell you, those are some of the things that we're still living with the effects and trying to evolve as how we best move this forward over the coming months. Again, to try and determine what that new type of normal looks like. But operations at 8-Wing and CFB Trenton will continue. And I'm happy to say that we're ramping up, if I thought that was even possible, that we could do more than we've already done. But again, it's just a testament to the outstanding members that we have on this base and this wing that are serving our communities and serving Canadians.
Yeah, no, for sure. I've got just a couple questions left. One of them is, I know that many Canadians, due to the Prime Minister's request that they needed to come back to Canada and leave whatever countries they had been in, whether working or vacationing. Did you have to bring a lot of the troops back to Canada, or is it a different scenario because they're, you know, they've got, obviously the mission is still going on in other parts of the world?
Yeah, that's a different scenario, and I'm happy to say that was other departments in the whole of government that were able to deal with that. where we were ready to answer whatever call the government asked us to do. We had personnel, aircraft, and all the support mechanisms ready to be able to answer whatever whatever tasks they may have asked us, as you saw with the repatriation of Canadians. And then you saw later on, you know, continuing that that SAR mandate and those resupply missions around the world.
Now, one of the things that is sort of that we enjoy every summer here in Trenton especially is, of course, the cadet camp and seeing all those young kids joining you for the summer, going through training and stuff. And with everything that's happening, is that still going to go ahead this summer, or is that something that has to be put on hold due to the current limitations?
Yeah, so Suzanne, that's a great question. And fortunately, I don't have a great answer because I know we all love seeing the young cadets, because that represents a good majority. Those represent the future military members, right? So they represent, you know, the next generation of leaders that are going to come into our communities and come into our military. But a call was made by the leader of the cadets probably a couple months ago, based on the conditions, based on what was known at the time, based on provincial restrictions and federal restrictions, that they were going to cancel a lot of the in-person cadet activities, and that including the cadet camps here in Trenton for the summer. They've canceled all these. I believe it's till the 31st of August, but I don't know the date specifically. But I'm happy to say that the cadets, even the local squadrons of cadets, are still practicing, although virtually. So they've also adapted to some of the new normals, or the new realities, if you will, imposed by COVID-19 restrictions. But it's great to see that they're still engaging with these young personnel and helping to shape them and provide them that motivation and inspiration as you know, they're looking for something different, you know, other than being schooled at home and all the other realities that that we're all facing with children at home now. But if you permit me there, Susanna, I'd like to actually, based on that same subject, I'd like to talk to you about something that I'm very proud of that the chief and I are very proud of that 8-Wing has developed recently. And it's been a program, it's an initiative that started some time ago before the chief and I arrived, and we're able to keep that that momentum going on the initiative. And that's a youth resiliency program. And so what this is based at is one of those things that we were aiming at our military youth, so the families of our military members here at 8-Wing and CFB Trenton, we're putting together a series of resiliency videos where we have members within our community here, so within the organization at 8-Wing and CFB Trenton, that have went through some very interesting experiences in their life. And they're going ahead and they're talking about these types of things. We put the video together, so we're sharing it through the MFRC. And we've also had a lot of interest from the local mayors and the local school boards. So we've pushed these out. And that's just our way to be able to continue to connect with youth so that they understand that what they're facing, other people have faced as well. And we think it's the power of the message of having people understand that they're not alone in what they do, and actually to have them be able to reach out and talk to someone, whether that's, you know, their parents, whether it's colleagues, whether it's social workers or ministers or priests. We just want them to understand that what they're going through is no different than other people have went through in the past and other people will go through in the future. But, you know, creating that conversation. So I'm quite proud of what the folks have accomplished here. Amazing work that the volunteers have done coming forward to share their story and putting their life out there to try and make someone else's life better.
It sounds amazing, and I'm happy to help share those videos out to anybody. If I don't know if they're going to be publicly available or if it's just through the school system.
I'll have to check with the with my public affairs officer, Major Trevor Reed. But he'll let me know, and then he'll definitely be able to be in contact with you, Suzanne. So thank you for offering that.
Okay, very good. And I did get a question, actually, from Councillor David O'Neill sent in a question just asking if 8-Wing is going to be hiring summer students this year like you normally do, or is that program something that's on hold right now?
Yeah, so unfortunately that program was put on hold, but that's a national level program that's just administered on the wings and bases. I believe it was the middle of March when we started to understand the detrimental effects COVID-19 was having throughout this pandemic across Canada. This was one of the things that they looked at from an overall well-being of personnel. And so they decided to cancel that program for this year across Canada. So it's not something that we implement or canceled directly here on the basis. It was canceled nationally. But hopefully we'll be in a position to be able to offer those programs again next year. Because again, I think that's a wonderful program. It helps people better understand the wing and everything that we do on the base, but it also provides an opportunity, a great recruiting opportunity for us when these individuals see what great people are on this base and what great things that we have to offer or to have a potential enrollee in the future.
Very good. So we're just going to wrap it up now. I did want to ask Honorary Colonel John Smiley if he had any closing remarks or anything else he'd like to add to the conversation. He is, for those that don't know, John actually hired me into my position here at the Chamber. He was the president of the Queen Anne's Chamber of Commerce in 2006 and hired me. So I have to always be nice to John because he's given me a job that I've enjoyed for many years now. So, John, I'm going to throw it over to you.
You know, Suzanne, sometimes in life we just make great decisions, and I think that was probably one of my greatest. And thank you for all you have done and for all the support you have shown the military. I think to the business community out there, you know, we really are fortunate to have such a large employer that is stable and here all of the time. And I think the one thing that we've learned through COVID-19 is that life is no longer normal and it's changing dramatically. And I think one of the things that the military we don't understand is I was talking to a gentleman the other day who's being deployed overseas. Not only is being deployed overseas on a certain day, but 2 weeks prior to that date, he has to leave his family, move on to base, and self-quarantine for 2 weeks before he leaves. So he's virtually extending his deployment by 2 weeks. And then again, when he comes back, I'm sure he's going to have to deploy again. So they're facing all sorts of hardships that maybe those of us in business, you know, as we reopen, don't have to face. It's a new way of doing business. And all I can say is let's get out there and support the base because they sure support us in a big way. And we thank them for that. So thank you.
Very good. Any final comments, gentlemen?
Chief?
Yeah, I'd just like to say thank you to the community. I mean, this is, never seen times. Obviously, it's very difficult for a lot of people. But without the relationship we have with the wing and the community, it wouldn't be, I think it'd be a lot more difficult, I believe. I've arrived here, as I said earlier, last year, just about a year ago now, and my family and I have felt the warm welcome of the community here, and we'd like to say thank you for everything and your support.
And Suzanne, I guess the only thing that I would add is again, I want to applaud the community leaders, you know, especially the mayors that we have out there and all the business leaders, you know, for continuing to maintain a sense of calm throughout this entire thing. And we can only imagine some of the trials and tribulations and challenges that they've been facing. But again, I think this this community is strong. This wing is strong. We'll always be ready to answer whatever call it may be on behalf of our community members and behalf of all Canadians. But I truly believe that we are stronger together as a community base. So I really appreciate having this opportunity and hopefully we'll be able to do it again in the future. And maybe at that time we'll be able to do it in person.
Yes. Thank you so much. And, all of us here in the Quinte region, are enjoying the fact that we get to still see aircraft flying around. We a little bit of a daily air show every now and then. One of the biggest, most popular events in this region is the air show. It's been a few years, and of course now, I mean, who could imagine having that many thousands of people up on the tarmac, right? I mean, it's going to probably be a while before we see anything like that again. But certainly, I know that the base always puts on a good show for us, even if it's just training. Training to you guys is something special for many people that live here. They love to see the planes, and, you know, every now and then we get some of those fighter jets in, and they certainly add a little bit to the airspace for us all. And we love seeing you all the personnel. I mean, you don't have to go far in Trenton. You come downtown on a Thursday or Friday and go to any of the restaurants for lunch. You can see the economic impact in uniform sitting around those tables, supporting our local restaurants and our local stores, our car dealers, our banks, our insurance. I mean, you mentioned the economic impact earlier. I think $400 million is the number that you gave. That's huge, right? And like I said, we love seeing everybody, the men and women in uniform around town. Thank you so much for your time today. I very much appreciate it. And I know that everybody on the call that was able to join us this morning did as well. And we look forward to sharing this recording out with everybody else. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Suzanne. And I hope you have a wonderful day. And the chief and I are looking forward to going out into the local community for lunch.
Okay. Bye-bye.